When you said your best friend went to jail, I stayed up all night and wondered who. You became through all your dressing up and dolls. It seems like I'm losing touch with you. After all the arguments and hell, I made a point to put you through. I guess I just forgot to say those things I thought. I never brought you home again from school. And the colors on my memories are dusty, and the lines are beginning to fade. If you ever ask me to come on back, then darling, that's all you have to say. Just like Buddha, and it takes me back to that old time place where the silver in your eyes, so loving and so wide, it polishes the years right off my face.
Check, and check, check. Test 1-2. You have found Spearfish City Limits, bringing the show in again with Max Hay today. A little tune off another Flea called What Happened.
Sometimes just loud enough to wake me up and remind me I'm losing touch with you.
Sad but true, I suppose. That is Mr. Max Hay. Always digging me some Max Hay. Max was one of the original friends of the program. We did an interview quite some time ago, a great interview with Max. Hey, I need to go and dredge that up and post it back to the front page so that you can all enjoy that as much as I did. Great interview. Love Max Hay, the musician and the interviewee for Spearfish City Limits. So this is going to be the big picture here, but I'm going to do one of my diatribe ranting dissertation things here at the beginning of the show. One of those unscripted live format. See, this is a live format show. So I never really truly know what I'm going to say. I don't pre-record and splice things together. We don't have a glitzy intro, but we're working on it. I was thinking about maybe doing an intro something like this. Hey man, Spearfish City Limits, it's like eating a really spicy pepper, man. It's like really, really spicy coming in and really hot on the way out. Like something like that for like an intro. We could put some music behind it, kind of. Like some kind of music in there. Mix in some music to give it kind of that pizzazz. You know, you got to have a little panache for your intro. The John. 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 Dale. Show. We're going to do it, man. I think we're going to get to work on that. Make sure we got a really good intro. Super important. Yeah, so anyway, we're kind of contemplating how, as we're going big time, how we're going to reconcile that we still flatulate. Because as I understand it, once you become a big star, you're not allowed to do that anymore. And I'm not sure how that works. If you have some advice for me on how to do that, I would love to hear it. And if you'd like to send hate mail to info@plainstribune.com, I loves me some hate mail. And specifically though, I mean, you can go low. I have a certain threshold where we can't go lower than that, but it's pretty low. So like you can go low and I'll read it out. Send on your hate mail. Would love to have that. This show is free and independent. It is not controlled by anyone. The content is not controlled by anyone. And that's why people love it. That's why these donations keep streaming in. I'm actually beside myself. And I'm not sure what to do with all of this cash. Just kidding. We just have a couple people who support the show. When we really, really, really need a couple bucks, I can go to the well and say, hey, we really need a couple bucks for some toilet paper. If you would like to support the broadcast directly through a cash donation, drop me a note. We can coordinate that. Or just send a check, 239 West Jackson Boulevard, Spearfish, South Dakota, 57783. We've also got a digital tip jar on plainstribune.com. Scroll down on the right-hand side. You'll see the little tip jar icon there. It links you over to PayPal, and you can make us a donation. That does get some off the top for the privilege of digitally transferring it, though. I would prefer you buy one of our shirts, though. It's kind of old school. You know, I like that old school way of supporting what we're doing. That genuine nature. John Dale, genuine draft. MGD is a good beer, actually. MGD is a good beer now that I think about it. Good red beer, too. Delicious red beer. Nobody controls this shit show. I'm the captain of this dinghy. And it probably shows from time to time that we really don't have an infrastructure or an organization. It's just the Republic. See, I'm not a member of the Masons, and I'm not a member of any secret societies or the Rotary or the Lions Club or Order of the Eastern Star or any of the other Masonic adjuncts. I'm just this free, independent member of the biggest organization, I suppose, here in the United States, and that is I am a member of the Republic. My boys, when they come together to fuck shit up, it's ugly. It's ugly. My people, don't mess around. They have 100% conviction in what they're doing, and they're against any threats to the Republic. Direct threats to the Republic. Direct kinetic threats, especially. That's my club. I'm a member of the Republic. Signed, sealed, and delivered, and everyone knows it. I don't sneak around and go get spanked on Thursdays. I'm just out here, an independent operator. That's why you're here. That's why you patronize this information and tell your friends about it. It's like, dude, there's something real happening in Spearfish, man. I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's something so real and so genuine because I'm not controlled. We're flying low financially, but our intellectual property is off the charts. I suppose if I valued it, it would be in the trillions. Because the types of information we deal in will reverberate and reflect for generations, generating value if the information is adopted into the general zeitgeist of the public. I'm not pent up about any of this. I believe this shit, man. You can sense my energy, and I know you can sense my energy on this stuff. I've actually thought it through deeply, hours upon hours in contemplation about the nature of things. And it comes out on the program, and it's not pent up, and it's not dishonest. It's a stream of consciousness, yada, yada, yada. Spearfish city limits, man. It's like a hot pepper. You eat it, it's kind of spicy going in, but it's really hot coming out, you know? I want to have tacos for lunch. Don't you like tacos? Isn't it? Oh, shit. Oh, shit. It is Taco Tuesday. I need to come up with a nifty audio doodad for that, like some clapping or something, like some applause. Wouldn't that be appropriate? Because, like, are you a fan of Taco Tuesday? Like, I'm a fan of Taco. Like, I could put away 19 of those fuckers. Seriously, I could go to Taco John's and I could store enough tacos for winter. I love me some Taco Tuesday. Seriously, they don't sponsor the broadcast. I've just been eating their food since 1978 or something like that. Crazy, dude. I loves me some tacos. Seriously. Here, let's try that again. Ready? Hold on. Let's try. It's Taco Tuesday. All right. Well, we got some fans of Taco Tuesday out there, huh? A little studio magic for you. My name is John Dale. Spearfish City Limits is a production of PlainsTribune.com. We broadcast from the corner of Canyon and Jackson in Spearfish, South Dakota. I suppose we're approaching maybe our 350th hour, not including all of the conversations of the same nature I've had with people in the various pubs in the Black Hills of South Dakota. And it's going pretty well. We have about 10,000 unique IPs that tune in every month directly and do downloads and generate 3.5 million hits. So, like, the people that visit this site are rabid. They take it all. They're clicking, they're listening, they're downloading packets. They're taking it all, man. Seriously, it's awesome. Keep spreading the word. This is as real as it gets for as long as it's rolling. And you want to be a part of this while I'm still fresh on this, because I'm getting a little old. I'm getting up there. I got gray hair, a life experience, a plethora, el guapo, of life experience to share with you and bring into these streams of ideas. And I'm capturing them as best I can for all posterity. That's why I say this is a trillion-dollar effort. The truth is expensive. Unmanaged, unbridled. That's a good term for South Dakota. Unbridled. At least maybe the way it used to be, but I think maybe we've got some fascist deep staters operating under the surface. How do I want to bring in this show? So somebody sent me... Now, the same person that keeps supporting the broadcast knows I'm not for sale, and the broadcast is not for sale, but she keeps coming back and supporting the show. And she sent me recently some links. Is this, let me just make sure that I'm not talking out of my ass here. Let's see. Yeah, it's the same person. I wanted to make sure, because we've had a lot of folks tuning in and dropping emails and stuff, but it's the same person who supports the broadcast, sent me these links to another broadcaster in the area, another mule kicking in the old stall. And I've tuned into his programs before. His name's Shad Olson. I guess he's like, he was homeschooled, and he's actually pretty cerebral, but I can tell he's sort of pent up and a little overproduced in his presentation of content. So I don't always make it through the broadcast. I really try, though. I like real, genuine stream of consciousness. Like, it could go anywhere. People can cuss. I don't like the overly managed parameters. I don't like the restrictions of broadcast terrestrial radio, nor do I like the cancerous effects of its broadcast. But it's another issue. Mind control aspects of the broadcast system. And I've tuned into the show. I've actually listened to maybe, probably 3, 4, maybe 5 hours of the show, just downloading the MP3s from his website. You can go do that too. I think his website is shadolsonshow.com or something, but you could Google that if you need to, and you'll get sent right to his let's go find it on Brave Browser. Have you ever heard of Brave Browser? shadolsonshow.com. Okay, it's taking a long time to load here. Okay, so I have this thing called Brave Browser. You should go download Brave Browser because it's freaking awesome. And your home computer, I think it runs on mobile devices too, but you should go download Brave Browser because it tells you like how many cross-site trackers and other creepy things were blocked when you go visit a website. And it finally loaded. It was like 15 seconds to load the Shad Olson Show, even after 10 creepy critters were blocked on it. So you might want to use Brave Browser before you go, just to maintain some privacy. And every time you open a tab in Brave Browser, it's really cool. This is a valuable piece. This is why you listen to the program. This kind of shit, this is why you listen to the program. I'm a technocrat, I guess you could say. I have the potential to be a real dickhead with technology, but I've chosen to be a good guy. And that's why you listen to the program. That's why you listen to our segments. Are they broadcasts? Are they segments? I don't know. But it tells you how many trackers and ads blocked. Since I've been using Brave, it's been like a month or something, it's blocked 16,774 trackers and ads. It saved me 516.5 megabytes in bandwidth, and it saved me 14 minutes of my time. Because every time a website loads, if it doesn't go load that third-party junk, then it loads faster and it keeps track of that and reports it to you. Brave Browser. So it's ShadOlsonShow.com. It does take a while to load, and this is where I've downloaded his MP3s before, and I got linked to a couple that were basically a hatchet job on Christie Noem, on Governor Noem. More like a butter knife job. Sorry, Shad. This was weak, man. Now, I know that like there's some stuff about Christie Noem you don't like. Like, she brings in people who are former Democrats or Democrats from across the aisle. She tries to build a big tent. Tries to be exclusive. I mean, excuse me, inclusive instead of exclusive. She's not saying just because you have a D or an R next to your name, I can trust you or not. Like, that doesn't appear to be the core value of Governor Noem. But that's how she was cast on this segment, that I can only make it about three quarters of the way through because it was just not respecting facts. It wasn't really as focused on policy and context and that big picture that you've come to know and love out of Spirit for City Limits. Now, I've emailed, just for the record, I've emailed Chad and I said, hey, buddy, I'd love to come on your show, but I have not had that email returned, whether it was spammed out or whether his handlers had made sure he never received it. I don't know. But I would love to go on Shad's show or have him over here for an interview, but I'm afraid it might degenerate pretty quickly to just these same talking points, so I'm not sure how productive that would be. Maybe Shad and I should just have a beer first or something, a red beer, an MGD. Because I think he would like me and respect me, and I think I would like him and respect him. And we can't judge that individual and the character based on some personas that we see on, you know, in public life necessarily. Plus, I don't really care. Like, you could be vehemently opposed to my ideologies if you want, and we can still go and smile and have a beer and crack jokes and fart and burp and scratch and smoke a stoke, whatever. That's how dudes are, right? That's just how the dudes are. That's how what dudes do, man. Come on. So the thing that kicked it off, so the first thing that was cited by his guest, I can't recall his name, was this executive order 2020-18, and this was cited as a shutdown, quote, of Minnehaha and Lincoln counties in South Dakota. It was like the governor shut down. Like, I don't think that word means exactly what you think it means. This executive order applied to those counties specifically to address specific issues. She had signed another executive order that usurped the power of her bureaucracy and put decisions about, like, big decisions about healthcare and lockdowns in the hands of an elected official. I reviewed that executive order, which someone said was indication that Governor Noem was some draconian fascist. And I read it over and I'm like, are you sure? Because she basically took the power of her medical bureaucracy. She nutted. She docked the medical bureaucracy in South Dakota, man. She took them. She roped them. She tackled them down. She put them upside down and she rubber banded the nuts of her medical bureaucracy in that executive order. And then never really used it on a broad scale, except in this specific case, which was at the time the peak hysteria over COVID, and she was, I believe, being conservative. But it wasn't even a shutdown. See, that's the part that pissed me off when I was listening to your show, Shad. I'm like, did you even read this thing? Like, intellectually honest? Let's go ahead and drop the veils and forget about the people who are pushing and influencing you to do one thing or another, just like you, Shad. You read this executive order over, and do you really see this executive order as a shutdown of Minnehaha and Lincoln counties? Let's talk about that. We should talk about that on your show. Because I read it, and it was not a shutdown of Minnehaha and Lincoln counties. It was not, I repeat, this executive order was not a shutdown. In fact, as near as I can figure, she dropped her drawers and peed on the boots of some fascists with this and sort of toyed with them a little bit. Which tells me that she is linked in with President Trump's 5D people. Oh, 3D. 3D chess? No, I think it's 6D chess he's playing now. Some shit like that. You know what I'm trying to say. So I have this executive order pulled up. I kind of read it. I'd already read it, and then I read it again, and then I just scanned through it as I was doing that little intro diatribe dissertation thing. So that's why it was so screwed up, probably. Did I do something about hot peppers? I don't know. I was too busy reading. So she goes through in this executive order. She states some kind of things about COVID, and this is why we should respect it and we should try to understand it. We got to be really careful. We got to be conservative. And then goes into the scope, and she says it only applies to residents and visitors of Minnehaha and Lincoln counties. There it is. She mentions the county specifically. It must be a shutdown. Oh, my God. No. No. What did she say in this executive order? She said people who are vulnerable should stay home. You shall stay home. For your own protection, you shall stay home. So who got ordered to stay home? Adults over the age of 65. Or people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions, collectively referred to as vulnerable individuals. If this was like Red Dawn and we had Chinese jackboots coming at us from the skies, the governor could order people to stay home so that the military could go out and fight them. That's what this was being die and cast as back in like April, March, June timeframe. And in fact, in hindsight, even it looks like this was a Chinese op. And she did not shut down the counties. She didn't shut them down. She said people who are most vulnerable to this disease need to stay home. Not only could you die, but if it's what it's cracked up to be, we could see it spread very quickly. So she did this, and these are referred to as vulnerable individuals. Stay at home at a place of residence. And here's the deal. Here's where she pisses on the boots of these fascists. She says, if possible. Stay at home or in place of residence if possible. It was nothing more than a recommendation, if possible. Shall stay at home if possible. Now, in government legalese, these two words, shall and if possible, these three words, these are orthogonal. They're at odds. They're obviating. They're canceling. They cancel each other. So she says shall, which is an important word in legalese. Then she says if possible. And when you read this, it doesn't even keep people who are vulnerable at home, technically. But to me, this seems like she's saddest. She's using a Trump kind of tactic, an ND chess tactic to satisfy the bureaucrats in her administration and all around her who said, oh, you got to shut down. You got to shut down. You got to shut the state down, ma'am. We're going to be fucked. You got to shut it down. So she reached out. I think she talked to a lot of the other governors. She talked to Trump. She talked to scientists. She listened to some information that we floated through Spearfish City Limits to her office. I talked with some of her people in person. It was a very well-constructed graph of information that didn't depend on any one person or organization's opinion about it. And then she constructed this language which gives people an out to say, fuck you, fascists. Good job, Governor Noem. Pardon my language, ma'am. But I'm sure you've heard these words before. It's my understanding she does tune into the broadcast occasionally when there's information that is pertinent and relevant. Shall stay at home or a place of residence if possible, except for vulnerable individuals to work in a critical infrastructure sector job or to conduct essential errands. So yes, there were some limitations for people who would present an omnipresent danger, like getting in the way of killing some Chinese infiltrators. Don't get in the line of crossfire. You could cause harm to yourself and others. But I also see loopholes in this. And I also don't recall it seeing it enforced to a terrible degree, except for the one guy in Mitchell who got thrown out of the school board meeting and didn't even get tased. He didn't even get tased. I don't know about that. I don't know. It was kind of interesting. Seemed kind of interesting. Where's the lawsuit? Where's his lawsuit? He didn't even tase him, bro. Where's his lawsuit? The police in South Dakota pale in comparison to the dark, shadowy power that exists here among others, from Marine Corps veterans to ex-Navy pilots to ex-Army, intel guys, Navy, Coast Guard, Air Force. Like, there's a lot of power here in South Dakota, and the police pay attention. They really pay attention. So there's something kind of fishy about that thing in Mitchell. I know that it's people are going to tell me, John, it's totally real. I'm just saying I'm reserving judgment, and I'm waiting for more evidence. Where's the lawsuit? I know people who are close to this gentleman have the money to fund a lawsuit, so where is the lawsuit? Let's see it. Let's get that into the Supreme Court and challenge the authority that was used to pull that gentleman from the meeting. That gentleman with perfect hair. Boy, he got ready for that, man. He was a beautiful man. I can say that. I'm comfortable enough with my sexuality. I could say that. Beautiful man who was ejected from that meeting. Manicured. Check out his hair, dude. It's perfect. His hair is just perfect. Why does that matter? I don't know, man. Just my spidey sense is tingling on that one. Sorry. Okay, anyway, so then there's actually something in an executive order that says, wash your hands, take precautions every day to keep space between you and others who may be sick, keep away from people who are sick, stock up on supplies. It says, clean and disinfect frequently touched surfaces. One of the things in the executive order was coping with stress. It said, get outside and work. Eat balanced meals, exercise regularly, get plenty of sleep. This is not so. Stop listening to social media. Take breaks from watching social media, it says in this executive order. How is that even enforceable? So when I hear this executive order being cited, which did not shut down like L.A. and New York shut down. Those were real shutdowns, like London. Those are real shutdowns. And it's really disingenuous, maybe, or just disrespectful to the people, unempathetic to the people who had to endure real shutdowns, to say that this was a shutdown. This is not a shutdown. And so this seemed to be the cornerstone and the basis for the bitching I heard on Shad's show. More power to you, buddy. Let's get together and put our heads together on this, because some of this stuff ain't right, man. Some of this stuff just isn't playing just right, and my instincts are telling me what the hell's going on. Nothing in this executive order prohibits patronizing businesses or organizations that offer essential services for errands and that have complied with recommended CDC guidelines. The order really has no teeth. It was just sort of satiation, I think, to the bureaucrats who are trafficking Governor Noem. Let's stand up for Governor Noem. Let's expose the people who are on her team who may be giving her bad information. That's the thing. We need to make sure we have open lines of communication, whether it's Governor Noem or anybody else, so that our governor can't be trafficked and turned against us. And that's my take on this. And as I was listening to that information coming out of Shad's show, they go through, oh, well, Larry Roden was a Democrat, and this person was a Democrat, and et cetera, et cetera. I don't care. I really don't care. Blue Dog Democrats helped get Trump elected. Just because you're a Democrat doesn't mean you're a bad or a good person. And I have to trust that Governor Noem's going to make the right decisions and fire some people when they need firing. And unless we're focused on the people around her and those organizations trying to put hooks into her like a politically trafficked fawn, then we may be missing the point. We may be missing an opportunity to do some real good. So that's all I'm saying, Shad. And like, I don't mean any disrespect. I run my mouth and I share my ideas. And a lot of times those ideas are exceptionally insightful and informative, and they help people calibrate their compasses, their social compasses, as they're trying to navigate this shit storm. And I don't know. Do you trust people who don't cuss? I don't know. I have a hard time. People who are so meticulous and they don't swear. I don't know. I have a hard time trusting people who don't cuss. Maybe it's just a me thing. But I'd like to hear you swear on your program a couple times, Shad. Just because. All right. This is a litmus test. If you want to enter the door to the kingdom of freedom, you must drop an F-bomb. I'm full of shit. All right. So I know it. You know it. But spread the word anyway, because it can be kind of entertaining. So I call that, it was a hatchet job, but really it was a butter knife job. Probably a bigger attack surface than that executive order. But I'm not going to tell you what it is. I don't think it's that big a deal. You mentioned the On Meth campaign, which was wildly successful to bring attention to the meth issue. The last thing that meth distributors want is people watching and paying attention. So that campaign was a resounding success, especially for the money. It went national, man. Ha ha, South Dakota's on meth. Ha ha ha. That is the childish short shrift analysis of what happened. There are a lot of people in South Dakota on meth, bro. A lot. We're famous for our, quote, work ethic. Well, where do you think that comes from? We got lots of military here and Air Force, especially Air Force guys. Love your capability. Glad you're on our side. But you got to stop facilitating the traffic of meth. Meth was it's perfect for pilots who need to fly long sorties, right? And the military has the highest grade stuff, right? Because it's not just bullets. It's not just combat boots that the military deals in. They're pharmaceuticals that enhance the capability of the soldiers. Meth is one of those in the shorter term that does that, but it's also causing a lot of the issues. And whenever I hear about another veteran committed suicide, I think, wow, I wonder how much meth was involved in that. So we got to get off the meth. I don't do any meth, never have. Tried snorting coke once, but the ice cubes kept getting up my nose. I've just never been into that approach. I'm a cannabis advocate, quote unquote, obviously unabashed. Governor Noem and I disagree on this, but that's okay. I'd rather disagree on that than fascism when we see it. I think Governor Noem is very coachable. I think she listens. We got to make sure those lines of communication stay open, though. The executive order, we talked about that. Just kind of going through some quick notes I made. I want to make sure I hit all the points. We talked about what it is to shut down that concept. I think the threshold for a shutdown was not met in this executive order or any other ones, truly. Autonomous, independent municipalities that implement draconian mask orders need to be challenged and taken to court. So where's the lawsuit on that? Got that. I actually met Larry Rhodes and his family, and they're wonderful people. I met him out at the Butte Lawrence County Fair a few years ago, and I was very impressed with his son. I was impressed with Larry. I was impressed with his wife. They're like, the nonverbal was all good. It was all right with that. And so I actually did not vote for Governor Noem or Governor Sutton. Sutton. Because I just wasn't sure what to do, and I didn't want to ruin somebody else's vote. She won 51-49, I believe was the final tally there. And I think that was a little bit of consternation about having a lady governor in South Dakota. Some of that, I think some people voted for Sutton because he was a man. But it wasn't enough. And Governor Noem won and had her opportunity on some controversial decisions. I think she eventually made the right decision on hemp. Eventually, I hope that she'll come around on cannabis, which is much safer than alcohol for our state to be consuming recreationally and otherwise. She's got a precedent now of standing up to Big Pharma, as we talked about. So when it comes time to legalize cannabis, I think she's going to need to stand up to Big Pharma, who runs this state, Avera and Sanford. Those, that duopoly of medical care in South Dakota, are a real problem because there are people who do not understand the science in charge of the decisions for the company, in my view. And so we need to change that if we can. There's just so much we could talk about on this, and I don't want to bust Shad's balls too much, because we're fucking growing quick, man. We're growing quick here on Spearfish City Limits, like really quick. And there's a new model for Broadcast Shad if you want in on that. We got some plans, bud. We're doing some things. I'd love to involve you on it and kind of free you up to a whole new audience, to a better audience, and a new type of opportunity for broadcast that will allow you a little bit more freedom. Freedom! Let me know. Reach out, info@plainstreaming.com. Also, you know a dude who can get a hold of me, too. So if you want to reach out, bud, I'm here. We're doing our thing. We're just doing our thing, man. We're using our free speech, constitutional values, members of this great republic, not members of any organization, free and independent and poor as church mice, cash poor. We are cash poor. I want to make that distinction. This is The Big Picture. My name is John Dale. Again, this is Spearfish City Limits. For those of you just joining us, I just got through a dissertation, busting Shad Olson's balls a little bit for something he said on his program, one of his segments. I disagreed with the assessment. Moving right along, Biden busted. Hunter Biden received millions from the wife of an ex-Moscow mayor, paid suspects allegedly tied to trafficking, had contacts with individuals linked to the Chinese military, a Senate report alleges. United States Senate report alleges. Important. Let's talk about some mask fallacies. I got this from a website called slashdot.org. It's an old computer techie news website that has a lot of cool stuff on it. So I troll that regularly. I never miss an article on there. And when there's something I believe needs to be brought into the stream of the big picture of life, I grab it. And this is one. This is out of Japan. A simulation using Fugaku, the world's fastest computer, found that almost 100% of airborne droplets of less than 5 micrometers in size escaped through plastic visors of the kind often used by people working in service industries. 1 micrometer is 1/1000th of a meter. In addition, about half of larger droplets measuring 50 micrometers found their way into the air, according to RIKEN, a government-backed research institute in the western city of Kobe. This week, senior scientists in Britain criticized the government for stressing the importance of hand washing while placing insufficient emphasis on aerosol transmission and ventilation, factors that Japanese authorities have outlined in public health advice throughout the pandemic. The deal is you strengthen the human immune system with good diet, which, by the way, was in this executive order. Ding! Gotta have a good diet and get some exercise. Get out and walk. Do a couple miles a day in the morning. Drink good water. Take the fluoride out of your water, boys. Get that shit out of your water, boys. Don't let your pregnant wives have any fluoride. It's going to get into that little critter. The boys, not necessarily the girls, because the blood-brain barrier. You got to take vitamins D, vitamin C, and zinc. You have to have these. These are essential to proper immune system function. Once your immune system is challenged by something like a coronavirus, or also known as a cold virus, it gets a lifelong immunity when it wins, and you have to turbocharge its defenses with a good diet. Once enough of us get that immunity, there's not a vector, there's not a pathway for that virus to travel to a lot of the most vulnerable members, because it stops at the first person with immunity. The masks themselves are a placebo. I'm sorry if I'm fucking up somebody's program here, but they are actually going to cause more harm than they're going to prevent. That's what the science says. That's what dutiful, honest scientists are saying right now, is the masks don't prevent the transmission of COVID. Neither do face shields. Don't prevent the transmission of COVID. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. This is not how any of this works. This isn't how this works. This isn't how any of this works. Life is a series of challenges. Build yourself and be ready for the challenge. Engage with your neighbors. Fight for your life every day. Be strong. Someday you will fall, but not today. This is the human spirit. The mask is the opposite of that. It's going to collect garbage in it, bacteria, mold, coronaviruses, flu viruses are going to get netted in these things. Then they're discarded and they're not properly discarded in biohazard containers. What a monumental shit show these masks have been. It's like a de facto Sharia law. For you Christians out there advocating for the masks, think about what you're doing and what you're being tricked into. How they must be laughing. CIA wants information weapon control, but it has a real credibility problem right now. The CIA has long been a place that cutting-edge technology has researched, developed, and realized. And it wants to lead in fields like artificial intelligence and biotechnology. However, recruiting and retaining the talent capable of building these tools is a challenge on many levels, especially since a spy agency can't really match Silicon Valley salaries right now. They used to be on the forefront of this, but Silicon Valley got an end around, obtained a shitload of money, stole it from the poor people, basically, and developed a capacity far exceeding what was capable within the CIA. The agency's solution is CIA Labs, a new skunk works that will attempt to recruit and retain technical talent by offering incentives to those who work there. Check that out if you're interested. We do need good people in the CIA. We also need good people to read Leo Zagami's books and then head into the Masonic community and do your best to restore the heart and soul of any organization, whether it's CIA, FBI, the Masons, police. Our only hope is numbers. We got to get our numbers up. We got to get our good people. We got to get our numbers up in these organizations. And then maybe we won't need these organizations someday. And they will be relegated to the annals of history and life will be good. We'll see a resurgence and reemergence of that human spirit, a new renaissance, a new freedom. Fuck the fascists. There's a little fascist in everybody. There's a little bugger that wants to get out, and it can manifest in everybody, and we have to fight those tendencies to the extent we're able to have a chance here to create and maximize the potential good of humanity. These are broad brush strokes, I know. A lot of this is meta. But for those of you who have been attending the big picture for a while, you've got the context and the backdrop where a lot of these comments resonate hard and they make sense. So if you don't fully understand, that's okay. Stay on board and you'll start to pick up the language. You'll start to tune into our meta frequency. And then like so many others, you'll get chills and you'll get goosebumps at how real all of this is. Now, when I was going to high school back in the 90s, the 1990s, there was this thing called Channel 1 that just appeared in the classrooms. It was a television set that got mounted in every classroom. We'd have news for 15 minutes a day. The news would come on these little televisions that were planted in each classroom. It was kind of obscene, really, in a way. Because during, they'd have like 5 minutes of news and then a 2 minute commercial about Snickers and Doritos and Coca-Cola and stuff. Snickers, Doritos, and Coca-Cola do not build the human immune system to the point where it can resist things like a weaponized biological agent called Corona, COVID-19. Back then, Anderson Cooper and others got their start in news. Channel 1 was an in-classroom news and world events with service with commercials for unhealthy food pumped into captive audiences in the United States in the schools. Amazon founder and CEO Jeff Bezos on Tuesday announced he is soon opening the first location of a network of tuition-free Montessori-inspired preschools for undeserved children. So this is the next phase in the next generation of Channel 1 on steroids. In an Instagram post, Bezos said, "The first Bezos Academy will open in Des Moines, Washington on October 19th. Gee, Des Moines, Washington. The network of schools will offer year-round programming 5 days a week for children between the ages of 3 and 5. Admissions will prioritize low-income families, according to the Bezos Day One Fund website. So here we see the exploitation of poor people, using them as a raw material and resource to prove the efficacy of a brainwashing plan coming from the biggest corporate fascist on the planet. Joy. The classroom is just the beginning, Bezos wrote in a post featuring a photo of a preschool classroom. The Bezos Academy opens its doors October 19th. This one in Des Moines, Washington, is the first of many free preschools that will be opening for underserved children. Send us your children. We'll take care of them. The nonprofit organization says it wants to run the schools using the same set of principles that have driven e-commerce giant Amazon. Most important among those will be slavery. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Genuine worker abuse. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Intense customer obsession and pedophilia. Oh, wait, no, he didn't actually say that. Hold on. The child will be the customer, the organization said on its website. So now they're not just going after the kids in college. That's where they kind of started. If you can obtain a customer at the college level, you'll have a lifelong customer. It was said in boardrooms across the world. United States classrooms at the university level are the greatest place to obtain lifelong customers. Now, they're moving into the preschool phase. The best thing children can have is two loving parents with time to spend with their kids every day. I would love to take Amazon's profits and somehow supplant that. If you're doing the job of parenting, yes, it's a job. Yes, it is a job. You are the sheepdog. You are the bull mastiff protecting the family, parents. You are the bull mastiff. You are standing between these fascists who want to plug into your children like a battery and your children having a free life in a free republic. Mom and dad together is the best case scenario. That doesn't mean that other scenarios aren't better than alternatives. But for atomic families that are together right now, that's a job. There's no reason why we shouldn't compensate that well. We should compensate it very well. We should make it so worth it that couples are having rampant sex to have children and raise them in the right way. There's nothing wrong with that. The atomic family is the most important resource that we have. Sex between a man and a woman for the purposes of creating a family is the most fulfilling engagement imaginable. This is central to the human experience that is under attack. And Bezos has this wild-eyed vision of being everybody's Diddy. So Apple Incorporated Chief Executive Officer Tim Cook, weirdo, druggy, weirdo, said he's been impressed by employees' ability to operate remotely. Well, that's positive. He predicted that some new work habits will remain after the pandemic. During an interview at the Atlantic Festival on Monday, Cook said Apple created products, including new Apple Watches and iPads, that are launching on time this year despite the need for most employees to work away from the office due to COVID-19. So that's good to know. And that's the economy, the distributed economy, is giving people more autonomy, the ability to use the homes that they pay for. I mean, you get up, and as soon as you're up, when you have to go to a job, as soon as you're up, you're not at home. You're not engaged with your family. You're thinking, I got to get ready. I got to go. You got to get in the car. You got in the car. You drive to work. Once you get to work, you got to work. You get a 15-minute break. You get a lunch break. You get another 15-minute break. You got to drive home. You're exhausted. You've already given the best of yourself to your job. So you meet your kids for a little bit in the evening before you go to bed. This is not parenting. So it's good to see that at least some good is coming from Apple. Andrew Yang is a smart guy. He claims to know math. Okay, he knows math and he's Asian. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Yada, yada, yada. Isn't that funny? But he has to know. He has to know that China is attacking this country. We get out in force to help Joe and Kamala win. This could be the major political awakening that Asian Americans, so now he's calling based on that sort of skin color race type baiting, Asian Americans have been waiting for a generation, meaning if Kamala and Biden are elected, Asians will be able to capitalize in a way that he does not actually go on to describe. He has to know. So is Yang fronting for foreign Asian type interest and influence in the United States to take over the country? Is that why Chinese people were coming here to build the railroads anyway? Because they knew that subsequent generations might have an opportunity to take over the country? That was a wild-ass hypothesis. I'll fly it. That's all right. This is Spearfish City Limits, right? This is the think tank. It's a free speech zone. Free speech does not exist in the speaker. It exists in the listener. When you have enough listeners who tune out and are not capable of defending themselves from dumb ideas, free speech dies. Moving right along, these Flynn documents are everything according to Mike Cernovich. They reveal an effort within the FBI to frame a three-star general. It's not even up for debate anymore. The FBI framed Flynn, and Obama ordered it. So now we have incontrovertible evidence that Obama ordered the framing of General Flynn. Hey, dummy, you ever watch My Name is Earl? It's actually pretty funny. I was sad when it got canceled. It's a pretty funny show with a nice premise. Karma's a bitch. BLM agitators attacked a library in Louisville recently. Windows were broken, but no books were stolen. Not really shocked. This from Dusty Johnson, Congressman Dusty Johnson here in South Dakota. I neither like nor dislike Dusty Johnson. We'll see how he does. He's got energy. Thomas Jefferson said if he had to choose, he would prefer newspapers without government over government without newspapers. That is a dramatic statement, but I think it highlights how critical journalism is to holding government accountable. Every good reporter has faced the wrath of a wronged politician and has disgruntled readers or listeners cancel their patronage. In politics, it is tempting to be among the disgruntled, but if we want a free society, we have to support a free press. Hey, this is a free press. It's a free digital press. So, Dusty, thank you for your support. Spearfish City Limits might be one of five independent free presses that I've seen in South Dakota. One whose loyalty is not to partisan endeavors or stoking division. Well, that, okay, so let's say four or three. No, two. There's two, but rather is to the truth. I don't know that there's any broadcast in South Dakota that is doing it like we're doing it. That is why I headed to the floor this week to highlight how democracy demands journalism. Bravo, Dusty. Bravo. I like that statement. Now we need to see it manifest into reality through the promotion, continued promotion of Spearfish City Limits. Maybe the only independent free press here in South Dakota, and my bank account shows it. Florida governor lifts COVID restrictions on restaurants and other businesses statewide. He also banned local fines against people who refuse to wear masks. I can go to a restaurant in Spearfish. I can go to a brewery in Spearfish. I can go to the grocery store in Spearfish. I can go to Walmart in Spearfish if I have to, and I don't have to wear a mask. And that has been the case through the entire pandemic, and I have not been arrested. I have not been accosted. I've gotten some dirty looks from some of these wannabe contact tracer Stasi women that I see in the grocery store taking pictures of people, sending those pictures, like posting those pictures to a database of some kind, and tattling on people who don't wear masks and getting paid probably to do it. Can you believe that shit? We actually have a Stasi class going around to see if people are wearing their masks here in Spearfish. Keep an eye out for them. You'll see them. Don't wear your mask. Go into the grocery store. If you're sick, don't go. But go into the grocery store if you're healthy. Don't wear your mask and take somebody with you to kind of whip, maybe with a mask as kind of incognito, right? And have them take a picture of the person taking a picture of you, so that you can actually see who they are. Although they'll be wearing a mask, so you can't really tell their identity. It's amazing what's actually trying to be implemented in that. Most people are totally unaware of it. It's like playtime. It's like fighting over a turd in a sandbox. It's South Dakota here, ladies and gentlemen. What are you doing? These contact tracers are getting paid to inform on whether people are wearing masks that scientifically don't work as well as distancing and washing your hands. And even then, you gotta get herd immunity. I volunteer. I volunteer to go put myself at risk and get COVID so that I might stop it coming through the next time. Let the strong conduct their business. We will protect you. Together, we will obtain herd immunity, and we will decisively prevent the vectoring of disease. This is how it works. We are biowarfare soldiers. Defense wins championships. Woke staffers at Spotify are threatening to strike if Joe Rogan's podcasts are not censored. So he did like $100 million or like a $200 million deal or some shit. So now the staffers are going to strike, and they think that the stockholders are going to allow them to strike and let Joe Rogan sue and breach the contract and let Joe Rogan walk away with $100 million without having to deliver on his contract. Do the woke staffers at Spotify think this is going to fly? They're going to kill the company, man, and they're going to hand Joe Rogan $100 million. What are you doing, you morons? It's just free speech. This might be the last gasp of this dumb counterculture and shadow banning. Get the fuck over yourselves. At first, I came out against Barrett on Twitter. I said, this is not a constitutional person. And I still kind of have that sensibility, but boy, is she an upgrade from RGB, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Barrett is. We're going to watch her decisions on lockdowns and big tech censorship very closely. I wanted a gut-eating, conservative, staunch, free market, freedom, liberty guy. But I think we have a huge upgrade here, so it's really tough to oppose going from Ruth Bader Ginsburg to anything. It's tough to imagine anyone more extreme than RBG. ACB is just not that. She's not even... Gorish is my favorite. And he's actually been what... I think he's a prototypical SCOTUS judge because he does what's constitutional. And he understands context, too. He's got a good big picture going in his head. So Gorish is amazing. And I want the whole Supreme Court full of people like Gorish. But Barrett is a concession on that wish, but certainly a hell of a lot better than RBG. And now, you know me, I'm not a Christian. I've done a dissertation on the existence of God. I leave room for that possibility. I'm not necessarily an agnostic. I just don't believe that if there is a God, that he would want me to forego the use of my intellect. And my intellect tells me, you know, certain things on the existence of God. But I have used this intellect to discern for myself over and over and over after testing the theory over and over and over. Conception is life. Conception is where you get your human rights. The science supports this. There's no non-arbitrary point on that continuum of human development more obvious than conception. If you leave a sperm alone or an egg alone to its own devices, it will cease to exist. But together, once they've made a zygote, once that egg has been fertilized, if you leave it alone, generally it becomes a human. By allowing abortion, I think that we have invited the cessation of all human rights. Because if you don't get them at conception, you don't get them anywhere. And so it's super dangerous to allow abortion. And I know that that creates complications in other ways, but we can handle that. I leave room, unlike some devout Catholics and other Christians, I leave room for cases of rape and incest where you did not ask to have the baby in there. This is really, really tragic. But I think morally, if you didn't ask to have a baby in there, since it's life-threatening and will change and alter the course of your own humanity, that there are certain exceptions that could be made. Should you not want to continue to bring that life in the world, even though it comes from you? That's your decision. The man does not have a say who has raped or committed incest. But in all other cases of consensual sex, I think that without question, it's conception. So we have a chance now in the Supreme Court to not kill human beings in the womb and have this. You watch movies about the Aztecs and the Incas, and you think, oh, goodness gracious, human sacrifice. Oh, the Nordic cultures used to do human sacrifice. Ew, you know, like, oh, wow, you see it in a movie, and you're maybe a little grossed out by it. But then You'll go get a baby sucked out of your womb. That makes, that's, we're talking ritualistic human sacrifice on a grand scale, and it has to stop. I can't live with this. I cannot personally live with this. It's a threat to the continuity of the Republic. Direct and present. And so if Barrett can get us closer to the point where that is not an option for birth control, I think our society will benefit. Now for the parting shot. Now, I actually have a huge parting shot this time. I was having this discussion with one of my former business associates who went around lying about my abilities and lying about certain circumstances pertaining to my finances to potential customers. So that's why we're former business associates. But we're having this discussion about, you know, fascism and what is fascism. And his notion is that fascism is can only happen on the right. And so I was inspired to write a short dissertation on fascism and just kind of a stream of consciousness thing, and I'd like to read that out for the parting shot today. I did send this over to Looters Food Centers, and that's not the person, by the way. Doug is a good man, and he's doing a great service for Spearfish, and his employees are awesome, and it's that hometown grocery store feel, and so we love Looters, and we go there damn near once a day. I mean, sometimes we go there once a day and just we love going to Looters. But I sent this over there because people, you know, there are certain assholes out there giving Doug heat about the fact that he doesn't force his customers to wear masks. Congratulations on not being a fascist, Doug. But I wrote this dissertation. I'm going to just do this for the parting shot before we move on to our day. Current time, by the way, September 29th, 10:18 a.m. Spearfish Creek time. We have the debates going on tonight. President Trump versus Biden. Biden's going to get all methed up. All right, here we go. From Random House. This is Random House is a dictionary. A totalitarian governmental system led by a dictator and emphasizing an aggressive nationalism and militarism and often racism. That's the definition of fascism. And if you believe the lies about Trump, you might think Trump is that. But in reality, Trump's been attacked and constantly checked by Pelosi and the Congress and everything else. He is a nationalist. I guess I would call him an aggressive, not really an aggressive nationalist because he doesn't force other people. He just demonstrates his love of country. And so many people have followed that, that the numbers are swelling. But he doesn't impose nationalism. If you're not flying a flag at your house, have you gotten a knock from Trump's people? No. So I wouldn't call it aggressive nationalism. Militarism, we've seen him resist sending the military in, except maybe special ops or some certain federal agencies that are tied to domestic intelligence to keep an eye on the situation and help inform police and help police against these true fascists in the street. Antifa is actually true fascists if you look at their tactics. When you scale out their tactics to a whole society, you will be forced to fly an Antifa flag. You will be forced, because the name of America will be changed to BLM, you will be forced to put a BLM flag in your home. That is fascism. Militarism, we've seen Trump defer to states' rights over and over. So I'm not seeing the militaristic aspect. And as far as racism, Trump's just not a racist. First of all, race is an artificial construct, because black people can mate with white people and the offspring can have kids. There's no race involved here. And if you look at before Trump took office, he's just, black people loved him. And then certain black people who are leaders in this cult started hating him after he became president. And they realized he was a JBSer. So I have two words for you. Predator drones. You will never see it coming. You think I'm joking. Remember that from President Barack Obama? Predator drones. Seems like a very militaristic thing. All white people are inherently evil. If there is racism, that's racism. Out of Anne Hathaway. The definition, both Trump haters, the definition of fascism has morphed in the post-World War II era to include love of one's country. love of one's country, historically means reverence for our shared values, which used to be rooted in the Constitution. Overt nationalism with shared understanding of emancipating values is not fascistic. For instance, the Masonic notion that the Masonic charters supersede the U.S. Constitution is indeed fascistic. Because the Masons are a corporation, they use a lot of power to control. I tend to think that right now, to the extent that Masons feel like their charters supersede the U.S. Constitution, the Masons are indeed a fascistic organization. That's just an example, just an opinion, just an idea. Feel free to counter that idea. You may want to read Leo Zagami's books. Some definitions include references to corporate control. Consider Silicon Valley, online censorship, and Big Pharma's recent play for corporate control of our government. I think the corporate control aspect of fascism is acute and interesting and relevant. Masks emanate from the pharma industry to sell mandatory vaccines and, of course, to sell masks. They come at us with this mantra, love your countrymen, keep them safe, wear this flag mask on your face, take the vaccine. This is fascistic. It is an imposition on something unreasonably at scale society-wide. It's fascist. The terms right and left, they're weaponized. This weaponization, the constant redefinition of right and left, is a shoddy way to understand totalitarianism and fascism. Totalitarianism is anti-democratic and anti-republican. Lowercase r. It is, dare I say, fascistic. To redefine these terms for what is expedient politically, that's fascistic, including political affiliation in the analysis given the platforms change. This means that fascism moves over you as a Republican. Fascism moves over you as a Democrat because your platforms change. If the platform of the party changes, but you really haven't changed your values, you could find out that just by being a Democrat, all of a sudden you're fascist. In reality, party affiliation has nothing to do with the true nature of fascism. Being Democrat does not inoculate a person from fascism, nor does being Republican. So to couch things in terms of right and left doesn't make sense. It's not consistently and uniformly applicable to figuring out if something or someone is fascist. The deep state permeates both parties right now, the neotards. Its control emanates from global banks, corporations, and the corporations in these global banks' various investment portfolios. All that matters, as David Icke puts it, is that our human family push back against the corporate fascistic takeover of both parties by half-wit neo-tarded corporate whores, also known as the deep state. The tyranny of the majority. Anti-deep state means anti-fascism. This is a good rule, but you have to understand what the deep state is. David Icke is a great man, I think. I think he's a genius. His speech last week, which you can find at Plains Tribune, requires an understanding of the source spring of fascism, the source spring of the fascism we're fighting together in reality. Right and left are merely the nozzles. The fascism well is global banks. Religious organizations are corporations. Municipalities are corporations. State governments, federal governments, and even the individual, all of these things can behave fascistically. The masks are a symptom of fascism. Big pharma corporate control. They actually don't work to prevent the spread of a disease. They make it worse. So if you're going to release the real bioweapon and claim that it's COVID-19, the masks are simply going to contribute to the spread of it because of how much they're touched, depleted oxygen levels, demoralization, stress, lack of connection with your fellow human beings through nonverbal communication of the face muscles, through accumulation of bacteria and mold and virus material in the masks. Rebreathing that stuff is not going to stop a pandemic. Herd immunity is, if it's a survivable disease, herd immunity will stop a pandemic. Another thing that would stop this pandemic or the next one is a bullet through the head of the guy who's about to release it. So, in the words of David Icke, take the bloody masks off. Unless you're mowing your lawn, unless you need to go in the attic and it's dusty, unless you're sick and you need groceries and nobody will shop for you, which is not true. I believe Looters has a shopping service where they're amazing staff. These are good people. They'll put your groceries together for you so that you don't have to go out in the public. Or if you're a doctor over an open cavity in your patient, obviously. Nurses and doctors, obviously. So yes, absolutely. Mask mandates are fascistic. The present fascistic movement wants to kill the human spirit and the imagination and the connection to human ideas and the future that we can make for ourselves simply by imagining it. Human beings are amazing creatures. They create things that boggle the mind. My name is John Dale. This is Spearfish City Limits. I'm so proud of humanity. I'm so proud of you. We're going to pull out of this together. We're going to make it. Your best friend. Have a great day, everyone.
I stayed up all night and wondered who you became through all your dressing up and dolls. It seems like I'm losing touch with you. After all the arguments and hell, I made a point to put you through. Guess I just forgot to say those things I thought. I never brought you home again from school. And the colors on my memories are dusty. And the lines are beginning to fade. If you ever ask me to come on back, darling, that's all you have to say. Just like Buddha, and it takes me back to that old time place where the silver in your eyes, so loving and so wide, it polishes the years right off my face. And the years, they creep by when I'm sleeping, sneaking on hand-me-down shoes, sometimes just loud enough to wake me up and remind me I'm losing touch with you.